Okay, I want to translate chapter 1, section 4. I'm going to skip over sentences 2 and 3, which you can see there in English from the Klein translation. But section 4, which ends off the first chapter, reads, At nunc narraturo mihi vitam defuncti hominis venio opus fuit. So, the main verb there is opus fuit. It's actually an idiom, and it means to have need of a thing. You note that fuit is in the past tense, so but now there's need. There was need. The thing that you need, the thing that you need, is put into the ablative. And that's venia, which means pardon. And the person who needs something is in the dative. That's mihi. That's called a dative of reference. So now to me, mihi. But now, at nunc mihi. But now to me, there's need, opus fuit, of venia, of pardon. But me, mihi, to me, is being modified, as you can see, by narratoro, which is a future active participle. You note the UR, which is also to be found in the word future. To me, about to narrate. So to me, about to narrate, and the thing I'm about to narrate is the vitam, defuncti hominis, the life of a man who has died, of a dead man, of a but I think that it's a little more delicate than dead, so of a man who has passed, the way that we say that in English, a little more delicately. But now, to me, about to narrate the life of a man who has passed, there's need of pardon, quam. Now, that quam is obviously a relative pronoun. Its antecedent, you can see quam is singular and feminine, so its antecedent is venia. Pardon which? Which? Now, this is really great. Which non petissem incusatoris. Incusatoris, you can see, is another future active participle. About to accuse. But more than accuse, about to slander, about to malign, which I would not have sought, non petissim, which I would not have sought, were I about to accuse. So it's a very interesting sort of pluperfect subjunctive in a past contrary to fact condition, but the main verb of it is incusatoris, which is in the future. So it's a kind of strange future perfect past contrary to fact. Very strange. And yet very Tacitian. You know, were I about to make an accusation, I would not have sought pardon. What he's saying is that in his day and age, if you're going to praise somebody, you have to beg people's indulgence. If you're about to malign them, you don't need to seek their indulgence at all. But since he's not about to do that, he doesn't have to seek pardon, hence the contrary to fact element. And then the final epigram there, tam saeva et infesta virtutibus tempora, so savage and hostile to virtues are these times. So, that is the end of the first chapter of the Agricola. This praise of his father-in-law, which he's setting into this wider context of praise for virtue and how hard that is to do in the evil times that he has lived through. He will say in chapter 3 that we're now in a different era, that is the era of Trajan. But part of the reason that he has to seek pardon to do this is not just because it's an unusual thing, but because he's not in the practice of doing it. Everybody's out of the practice of actually praising virtue because the times up to now under Domitian have been so evil. Okay, that is the end of this podcast. In the next one, I will go over chapters 2 and 3 and give you assignment A. I'll try to post that in the next day or so. And you will see on the syllabus that your assignment A is due on April 12th. Of course, you have an exam that is due on April 5th. If you haven't gotten that, you ought to let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to post you a video to watch about a documentary about Queen Boudica, if you're interested in finding out more about that. And I will talk to you in the next one. All right. Bye now.